Who will stand against our King? No one can. No one will. Oh, oh, victory belongs to Jesus. Victory belongs to Him.
I want to bring you God's word that will change your life forever. I bring you God's word title, The Rules of Spiritual Power. The Rules of Spiritual Power. How many of you are ready for today? The Rules of Spiritual Power. 2 Timothy chapter 2 from verse 4 to 5. Before I proceed, we all know that today is the last day of our 21 days fasting and prayer. Many of you couldn't partake of the fast, but grace will locate you this morning.
Amen.
Amen. It's a wonderful fast. Last Friday we had an all-night service. There was so much power, there was so much grace, and a deposit of blessings. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4 to 5. The Bible said, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. I take it again. No one engaged in warfare, Bible said, entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Verse 5 says, and also if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. I bring you God's word, the rules of spiritual power. Praise be to God. Amen. The purpose of our 21 days fasting and prayer in our month of power emphasis, even in this month, is very strategic for us to attain a perfect dimension in God. It is so that we begin to pay attention to the rules that will help us to access the power of God and how to walk in the power of God. Are you there with me? People of God, I need you to listen to me this morning. It is the power of God in the life of an individual that helps him to operate beyond the limitations of life. The limitations that stop men. It is the power of God in the life of an individual to be able to live beyond that limitation and be able to express his or her destiny. How I pray that power will visit you this morning. Amen. Without power, you may be very limited in life. Without power, you will be very limited in life. It is said that the powerful always rule the weak. In a society, if you are not eating, you'll be eating. And it is the power drunk people who are powerful that always rule. When you are not powerful, you'll be very limited. In life, without power, you may have a voice, but your voice will not be far-reaching. Without power, you are considered vulnerable. In fact, you are treated as a victim, whatever place you find yourself. Without power, it will be very difficult for you to rise from the position of a servant to become a master. Shout, power is needed. Without power, you cannot move from being a custodian, a caretaker, a steward, to becoming an owner or a lord over something. When the power of God comes into your life, that is what helps you to become what God has ordained you to become. And this morning, you shall not be left out. The power of God will come upon your life. It will envelope you. I don't know where God is taking you, but the power of God will take you there. When you shout an amen, you shall testify. Spiritual power, what is it? Spiritual power is a special enablement given by God to an individual for him to easily fulfill his assignment on the earth. And also nullify every limitation set against him. I take it again. Spiritual power is a special enablement given by who? By God to an individual for him or her to easily fulfill his destiny or her destiny and nullify limitations the devil would like to level against him or her. In acquiring power, there are rules you need to observe to determine the dimension of God's power that will flow through you. When you want to acquire power, power is not cheap. Hello? Power is not, it's not cheap. For you to acquire power, there are rules that are needed to be observed. In the electronic world, power is available for devices based on the purpose for which they were made. Hello? So, when you have a device like, a device that gives light, like this bulb, the power needed to light this bulb, that dimension of power is different from the power needed to heat a device that needs heating, like the electric iron. Hello? So you see that they all come in what is called watt or wattage, depending on the power they consume. The power they consume is dependent on the reason why they were made. So when you look at our speakers, you see 1,000 watts. So that means that until electric power is up to 1,000 watts, it cannot power this sound. Are you there with me? So for the purpose for which it was made, it demands a level, a dimension of power in order to function. There are certain devices that need a certain dimension of power to give cooling effect, like a refrigerator and then the air conditioner. Without that power, they cannot function. Praise be to God. That's what happens in the electronic world. But in the spiritual world, we who are spiritual, power does not come to us because of purpose or because of prophecy. Power comes to us when we observe the rules of spiritual power. Are you following me? When we observe, so you can receive a prophetic word that one day you will be a kangaroo. Or one day you will become a hairdresser having a lot of employees under you. It will not automatically happen because you have received a prophetic word. The father, you have discovered your purpose. You read a book. You read a book that has to do with investigations. And you saw a character that you love so much because that's how I'll be a policeman. As for me, I've discovered my purpose. I'll be a policeman. To become a policeman and last as a policeman, it's in the power dimension. Any man that is born on the earth, before the man will become what God wants him to become, you need to observe the rules of spiritual power. No wonder people rise, but tomorrow they fall. Because when you don't observe this rule, you rise all right, but you not last. Are you there with me? You need to observe spiritual power, the rules of spiritual power, in order to become what God wants you to become. Have I gotten your attention this morning?
Yes.
Can we continue? All right. So, it takes spiritual power to translate you into what you must become. You remember the early apostles, when Jesus was leaving, he said, you are only apostles. You are only pastors. You are only disciples. What you are about to do in life requires power. It does not require title. There's a man that is it's a man of God that I know. I said, Reverend, how are you? So I'm no longer Reverend, I'm an apostle. I said, apostle. Some people are very particular about titles. But titles don't leave impact on the earth. What helps you to leave impact is the power of God. So Jesus told them that wait in the upper room. So they have to observe the rule of waiting, fasting, praying, exercising faith. And when the power of God came, they were able to change the heart of men towards God. For you to change the heart of an individual to become a follower of God, it's not in eloquence, but it is in power. It takes the power of God to change the heart of a man. Because the world is full of darkness and people don't love God naturally. But it takes the power of God to light a light in them to become lovers of God. So Jesus said, wait until you are endued with power so that you can be witnesses unto me, not only here in Samaria, but in Judea, in Jerusalem, and other parts of the world. Because when you do this job without power, the devil will kill you. Praise be to God. So they were witnesses after power came upon them. So observing the rules must be your way of pleasing God. You see, when you follow the rules, you are pleasing God. One thing I want you to understand about God is that God cannot be manipulated. The 21st century Christian always want to manipulate God. Always want to, God, this is bribe for you. Shh, just keep quiet on my secret. God cannot be manipulated, but God can be pleased. So the scripture we read said that a man who is engaged in the things of warfare does not entangle himself with the affairs of this life, but he looks forward to pleasing the one who enlisted him as a soldier. So God can be pleased. Hello? And how do we please God? By observing the rules of spiritual power. I remember one time when we started this place as a church in 2018, we were 9 in number. And by the grace of God, people started joining us. And there was a lady who joined us. She's no longer here. She's outside of this continent. She came to me and said, Pastor, I want to sow a seed into your ministry. I want to sow 2,000 Ghana cedis into your ministry. I said, why? Because I want to know. Because we just started. There are gifts that you receive, your destiny will just shut. Blow. He said, oh, because 2000, then you stretch your hand and say, no, you must know why. I said, why? He said, man of God, you see, I went to sow a seed into the life of a prophet in town. And after I sowed the seed, things have become difficult for me. He said, my warfare has increased. And as she was talking, it was as though someone stood beside me and nudged me. The person gave me an elbow. To speak something into her life. So I told her that, listen, God is not interested in that 2,000 cities. Number two, I'm also not interested. What God is interested in is your heart. Whatever thing you are looking for, if only you give your heart to God first, then things will work in your life. It's not being in a hurry to go and sow seed. When I told her that, she started crying. She wept bitterly because she realized that her heart was not after God. She was trying to play chess game with God. Chess game. You see, in the kingdom of God, we don't do things anyhow. There are modus operandi, rules by which things can come into your life. When you don't handle them well, you see that you are using the wrong key to open a door, and the door is refusing to open. She needed God to do something for her. She thought that she can sow a seed of 2,000 Ghana cedis to move the hand of God. That's not what God was looking for at that time. What God was looking for was her heart. God was looking for her heart. Are you there with me? So there are rules. There are ways by which we please God for power to come into our lives. Praise be to God. Power is a reward system of God to anyone who pleases him. When you please God, he releases power into your life. Let me tell you something. Anytime you see somebody doing well in life, somebody is moving from 1 to 2 to 3, you see this kind of ascendancy in progress, it's a sign that that individual is pleasing God. Greatness in life is not by accident. Greatness in life is not what? By accident. But when a man's ways please the Lord, God lifts that person up. So God will reward you with power when you please him. We are not here to please men. We are here to please God. If it's about pleasing me, you are at the wrong place. Because I don't know what you are looking at, and I can't have it for you. It's better for us to not think about pleasing God. And when you please God, believe me, he will lift you up. That's why your amen is weak. I said he will lift you up. Amen. So the account we read gave us two illustrations about how spiritual power can come to an individual. Number one, we looked at the attitude of a soldier. The attitude of a soldier is that he is not enlisted as a soldier to be pleasing civilians. He pleases the man who enlisted him to to become a soldier. He has that attitude. So he does not entangle himself in civilian matters. No. As if he has not seen it. Civilians will be fooling, but as if he has not seen it, because that's not his jurisdiction. The man who called him has given clear assignment. For you to be able to attract power, you should have an attitude of a soldier. Mind your business. Number two, the attitude of an athlete. Hello? An athlete is only given the crown when he runs by the rules. We have seen many people disqualified after running a race. Some people have actually won, but they have been disqualified because they have breached the rules of the game. Every rule has a game. You will never sit behind your TV to watch a bout. Hello? Boxing. And see that at one point someone would throw his leg. Once you throw, you are disqualified. God, there are rules that govern boxing. There are rules that govern basketball. We don't use the leg to play basketball. You are playing basketball and you bounce the ball, and the next thing is you kick the ball. No, you are breaching the rule for the game. Are you there with me? You are watching people play ampi, then go and bring a sword. You have an ulterior motive. Every rule has a game. Every game, I beg your pardon, has a rule. So an athlete, before he will become a winner, pronounce a winner, they first of all check the rules, whether he has not breached the rules before he will be announced a winner. It's not winning that is the most important thing, but whether he has observed the rules. Praise be to God. There are people who have overstretched the concept of grace. They are like, oh, man of God, we are under grace and there are no rules. Grace will guarantee power. Grace does not guarantee power. What guarantees power is when you observe the rules. I'm hitting that place over and over again because we are going to look at the rules. And I believe that after today, you will walk as a powerful person. Listen, it's very necessary to be powerful. If you are not powerful, like I said, you have no voice. You will be an echo. After people speak, then you repeat. You are an echo. But when you are powerful, you are a voice. Your words become a command in your family. Hallelujah. Amen. To get results in God, you must not do things anyhow. You must understand rules. You know, there's a dimension of healing that comes to people only when they confess what they have done to their fellow man. There are some people, they can never be healed. Do you know why? Not that they've not said prayers on them. Not that we've not anointed them with oil, anointed them with water, anointed them with anything. They'll never be healed because that dimension of healing only comes when they confess their sin to anyone they have offended. Because when you go around offending people, you attract sickness. James chapter 5, verse 16. James, the Bible says, confess your fault one to another and pray for one another so that you will be healed. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be what? Healed. There's some dimension of healing that only come when you say, brother, you have no idea, but the job you did not have, I was the brain behind it. I'm the one who told them that you cannot do it, and I provided it with evidence. Until you do that, you become leprous. You have HIV AIDS. You have incurable sick. I'm telling you, some people are very wicked. Are you there with me? Huh? So unless you confess, your healing will not be released. This is an understanding the church must have. Then we know how to behave well. Hello? There are some seeds you plant on the altar that will never germinate. Because there are rules to be observed when you are planting a seed. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, tell us to verse 23 and 24. Matthew chapter 5, 23 to 24. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, What did Jesus say? Verse 24. Leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. So it's not the gift you are giving. It's not the offering. It's not the seed you are sowing. But make sure that you are not in loggerheads with other people. Because it can block your miracle. Are you there with me? Are you catching in this morning? So in the kingdom of God, things are not done anyhow. There are three rules of spiritual power that you must constantly follow to rise above every limitation that the devil will throw at you. Number one rule is the rule of dying to self. The rule of dying to self. Dying to self is a spiritual rule that subjects your flesh and its appetite under the Spirit of God, who is the source of all power. The Spirit of God is the source of all power. Before he empowers your life to become powerful, untouchable by demons, untouchable by witches, you must first of all subject your flesh and its appetite under the Holy Spirit. It is when you die to self that we say you are a broken vessel. Are you there with him? Hear me carefully. God does not use anybody. God uses people who are broken. The reason you are crying, God, oh, open my eyes, open my legs, open my hands, open my heart. God, put anointing, put power. The reason power will not come is because you are not broken. To be broken means you are dead to self. You have subjected your flesh and its appetite under the auspices of the Holy Spirit. Anyone who is not broken cannot be used and trusted by God. You must first of all be broken. And that brokenness must be done by you. If you are not broken, you are not dead to self. Sister, you will not see one pound, how do you call it? One drop of power. Power is not cheap. Power is not what? It's not cheap. If God will ever need a millionaire in your family so that he will be considering to put the power to get wealth, the Bible said in, I think, Deuteronomy chapter 8, right? Verse 18. It says that, remember your Lord God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth. So, for you to become a millionaire in your family, you must walk in the power dimension. Hello? You must work what? In the power dimension. Not liabilities, assets, mentality. But in the power dimension. And you shall remember the Lord your God. For it is he who gives you power to get wealth. So for God to put power on your life to get wealth, he must first of all check whether you are broken. Whether you are dead to self. Without that, he cannot invest power in you. God is a good investment manager. God is a good investment manager. So before God will invest power, he will watch whether you are broken, whether you are dead to self, before he will release his power. If God will ever raise a lecturer, God will ever raise a business mogul, God will ever raise a pastor in your family, somebody must be dead to self. Somebody must be dead to self before he can release his power. Paul, who was one powerful individual that God used in the Bible, he was powerful because he was a man who was dead to self. Therefore, he attracted the power of God. Let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 26 and verse 27. Let's read the New International Version. Are you following me this morning? 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 26 to 27. The Bible said, therefore I do not run like a man, running aimlessly. See, men, when you see the lifestyle of men, you think that you are not busy enough. There are some people, they are busy. They run up and down. But see, so what is happening in town that you are not hearing? And therefore I do not run like a man, running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air.
Ayah, this guy is deliberate. He's intentional about his destiny. Then he says something. No, I beat my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. What's that prize? Power. So because of power, this guy must beat his own body. He puts his own body under subjection. That body, you not take me to hell. Body, you not deny me God's power. So he fixed his blows and used to hit himself. A way to cause death to his self. A way to die. Dying to self. Are you catching this morning? Oh, praise be to God. There's a price to get when you die to self. And that price is the power of God. How do you die to self? Self is governed by the appetite of the flesh. And there are three dangerous appetites that ruin destinies in the whole world. Listen, businessmen, when they are thinking about making business or making good money out of people, they consider this one of these three things or all of these three things before they put a product out there in the market so that they will make money out of people. Because without this, they cannot make money. Hello? Without this, they cannot make money. I'm going to show you. There are three dangerous appetites in the world that will deny you power if you don't die to self. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 to 16. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 to 16. The Bible says, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not what? In him. Verse 16. For everything in the world, give it to me in the New King James Version. Let's go back to the New King James Version. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, number one. If the Bible is yours, you want to underline and highlight. The lust of the flesh, number two. The lust of the eyes, number three. And the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. When the Bible says dying to self is dying to these three things. These are the three things that will take people to hell. These are the three things that will make people poor for life. These are the three reasons why some people receive prophetic word but do not see the manifestation. But that shall not be your case. I said that shall not be your case. So the lust of the flesh, your flesh has an appetite. It has appetite for intoxicating things. It has appetite for sex. It has appetite for orgy. Do you know orgy? Or word parties. Drink up. You drink until you stupor. I say, what's your name? Say, I don't remember my name. Say, Pastor, I can't remember my name. Where I am right now. I'm between life and death. That is the flesh. If that lust does not die, it will wipe your bank account. Because every day you must satisfy the flesh. And the flesh can never be satisfied. Where the flesh comes from, Proverbs spoke about it, from the ground. He said the ground is never satisfied. Put dead bodies in it, it will receive more. Put seed in it, it will receive more. Put water in it. The ground is never satisfied. That's where man comes from. So this flesh is never satisfied. That's why economists will say that man is insatiable being. Hello? Man is insatiable. You cannot satisfy man. Because the flesh is always demanding. That appetite is so strong that it must not be managed. It must be killed. You cannot manage the lust of the flesh. You must kill it. Because it wants more. It wants more. When it gets one, it wants more. It wants another one. That's why asking Solomon, he got married to one. He said, no, 999 more. Because the flesh, when you are under the bondage of the flesh, you are dead. Savings, you can't do savings. Because there's a higher appetite. And when you are under the influence of the flesh, you cannot experience the power of God. You can't. God will not invest power into such a being. Number two is the lust of the eyes. This is what leads to greed, covetousness, and materialism. No matter the number of shoes you have, say, I want to buy one more. When you go to impulse buying, you did not plan to buy, but lust of the eyes. When you see it, I want to have it. When you see it, I want to have it. It's that, I like your hairstyle. Where did you do it? So I did it here. Go and do it. Under 1 week. Hey, you just changed your hairstyle again. Where did you do it? He said, that same, I'm going there. Lust of the eye. So you see that you have things that you don't need. You keep buying, you keep buying, you keep buying, you keep buying, you keep buying. Because they know that you have a problem with that. When they put a drink in the fridge, they make it sweat. It will be sweating. So when it is sweating, I'm not just a drink. The bottle of the drink is sweating. But once you see it, you must empty it. You keep buying, and that's where your investment, your life investment to go into. Lust of that is very powerful, but it will be killed. Amen. So, death to self, this is what it is. You must kill the lust of the eye. So, iPhone 11, after iPhone 11, say 12 has come. 12 Pro what? Max. Now you have it. You are waiting for 13 Pro maximum. Because you must always have. You get my point. Greed. Greed. Bible says godliness with contentment is a great gain. When it's not my time and God says I should not have it, why will I try to have it? Because it will not last. But when it is my time, you can't stop it. 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 Praise be to God. So lust of the eye. The third one is the pride of life. This one leads to arrogance. Having an overestimated opinion about oneself. As you are looking at, you are seeing yourself like the president of the world. So when we are talking to you, you want protocol. Have you spoken to my PA? Have you spoken to my secretary? You know, you can't pick calls anyway. You can't return calls. You are seeing yourself big. Brother, calm down. Calm down. Pride of life. God cannot use proud people. I've never seen any powerful person who is ever proud. Powerful people are very unassuming. You need a third eye to know that this man is a millionaire. Because how they are so simple and will bypass you without you knowing it. But poverty is very loud. Poverty, when poverty is standing here, you see breast kerchief, the poverty will bleach. We'll have wreaths, whatever. The rings, we'll have bishopric ring. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Poverty is very loud. The perfume will capture the whole atmosphere. Poverty. Poverty exaggerates. Wealth, power is in simplicity. That's why me, I like simple people. Because I know they have something I would like. When you want to see a true man of God, it is in his simplicity of even the message he preaches. Some people, when they bring Greek, the Greek rendering is autos. Autos means that it is taken from the Hebrew redemption. What is all those things? They come minister the world in simple terms. Are you there with me? The pride of life. You have to die. You have to let this thing die so that power can be resident on your life. These three things must die. Put your right hand on your head. Say, let these three things die. In the name of Jesus. How do they die? One, the strongest way to kill this thing is fasting. What did I say? Fasting. Fasting. The intent of fasting is primarily for repentance. You know, our display of remorse for our sin is that we fast for God to show us mercy and set us apart for you. Anytime we are fasting, it's not necessarily for power, 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 power. It's for repentance. That God will forgive us our sins. How we have wasted time. By now, some of us should be bishop. By now, some of us should be business mogul, but because of selfish mentality, selfish ambition, everything is self, me, myself, and I. So that's why we fast. When we fast, we ask God to forgive us. And in that process, God helps us to break the hold of the flesh on our lives. To say this in person, it does not mean that when I say simplicity, then you go and do anything. It's good to look good, but don't be extravagant. Don't be addicted to buying. Your children are growing, you know. They are growing. They would not like to go to public school. They would like to go to private school. Praise be to God. So fasting helps to kill the flesh. So anyone who does not fast, the person has serious trouble with it. Even people who fast are not seeing it up. What about you that you're not fast at all? So not only 21 days fasting and prayer after today, every week, at least on the day you were born, fast. Be fasting. Once you fast, you have control over your flesh. Sometimes you have good money, then something is calling you from the outside. You can hear someone calling you Daniel. Person is calling you at Vienna City. Daniel. Then you just wake up. So where are you going? So I feel like going out. You go and come back. That money is gone. You come ask yourself, so what has happened to me? What did I buy? It was 2,700. How come it's not just 7 cities? Because you are not in charge of your destiny. Some things are controlled. These are the 3 things. Because once you are stepping out, because you don't have control over your flesh, now that you have stepped out, you have seen something. And all the things that you buy, you don't get satisfied from a banana shake. Whatever, the things are not getting you satisfied. One plate of food is like a drop of water. This is $700. Then you'll be there. The only thing you use to compensate yourself is that you've taken selfie to feel good. Fasting is the tool used to kill this thing. So before Jesus would start ministry, he had to fast for 40 days and 40 nights. And after he was done, his first temptation was what? Food. Say, Son of Man, turn these stones to become bread. He said, no. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You can only say that when you have overcome the flesh. But if the flesh is superior to you, when the devil said, turn these stones to bread, he said, what about the pebble? You also like to add the pebble to it because the bread will not make you satisfied. The pebble may be turned to gobble beans. Because the flesh will like more. But because he fasted, he can say no. He can say no. Fasting is crucial if we'll be people of power. Praise be to God. Those who are of the world are slaves to these 3 dangerous appetites. People who make money out of uncontrollable appetite. Like I told you, the people who are making products now. Look at our televisions. Lot of the drugs that is sold is aphrodisiac. Say, this one will make you last for 4 years. 4 years. Aphrodisiac. Why? Because they know that the flesh of man wants more. Wants more. So you too, you go and eat and use that drug. When you come back, you have grown lean. You go and eat again. Again and again and again. Because they are feeding your weakness. They are feeding your weakness. Because they know you have the pride of life. Go and look at the black Americans. Their cars, after they buy their cars, they'll go and buy gold-plated rim. Because there is something in them that must show. Their ego must be inflated. When they pass, you don't see them. They'll reverse. They'll shout. If you don't hear it, they'll have to honk. Ping, ping, ping. Because when you see them, you're like, yes. I told you I'll make it. Pride. 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 That's why when we have money, we can't enter into businesses. We can't do businesses and save other people's lives. But when we have money, we want to burn it on our ego. Pride. Pride. In one car, there is Heineken. There's another cognac. Cigar, cigarette. He doesn't know which one to start with. Money swine. The reason I'm saying this is God is going to lift you up. But when you don't deal with these things, they will bring you down. The strongest enemies are these ones, not the devil out there. The devil, you are stronger than the devil. But the enemy in your body is stronger than the one out there. Give the Lord a clap of praise. Praise be to God. A soldier, Bible said, one who engages in warfare, don't entangle himself in the affairs of this life. So you must be very careful the things you engage yourself in. Praise be to God. So that's why you see that in every prophetic service or impartation service, two people will come. They are all impacted. But you see that one person is utilizing the impartation because that person is already a broken vessel. But the other person is fully flesh, 100%. So it's like you are pouring water on stone. That's why Jesus will say that, do not give your pearl to the swine. Because swines, they eat, they don't get satisfied. When you give it pizza, it will eat. Pigs now eat pizza. Any food they are eating. The Bible says, don't give your pearl to the swine. But the person must be broken. When the person is broken, hiya! One impartation, the person is charged. Praise be to God. The number two rule of spiritual power is the rule of laying aside weights. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Laying aside weights. I'm not talking about sin. I'm talking about weights. There are some things in life, they are not sins, but they are weights. When you don't lay them aside, they'll deny you the power of God. Bible said, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. To qualify for a dimension of God's power, you must learn to lay aside some weights. No one, I've never seen any competition, how do you call it, Olympics, where the person who is about to run, one of them is wearing suit with Italian shoe. No, it is a weight. It will not make you run fast. Those who run are almost naked because they have to be light so that they'll get to the finish line very early. But you can just imagine someone is running in a race. The person has carried water on their head. The person has a boo-boo, you know, boo-boo, with things in the pocket. So you are coming to run. Where are you going? That's how we are spiritually. We have weight that is on us that God wants us to offload. The Bible said we are surrounded with a great cloud of witnesses. People who are already dead. That relative of yours that is dead, that makes you cry. The person is watching you. And those people, they are cheering you on. That don't give up, son. Don't give up, daughter. You are almost on the finish line. That's why sometimes you dream, you see some of them. They tell you that, keep pushing. Because you're almost at the finish line. But before you get to the finish line, you must put down the weight so that you can get there on time. Are you there with me? Yes. You attract the power of God when you offload certain things that will slow you down in life. Weight are burdens. Weight are hindrances. Weight are nuisances to your spiritual pace. So some of these weights include, number one, worry, anxiety, fear, doubt, unbelief, worry. Worry is not a sin, but it's a weight. You are always getting worried. What are you worried about? Tomorrow. But you don't have control over tomorrow. Who knows if tomorrow you will be alive? But you are worried. All my friends are traveling abroad. That's for me. We finished school. All this. I've not traveled abroad. Things are very difficult. Some of your friends have gotten mad. Why was it God? All my friends are mad. Why have you denied me that package of madness? Sometimes we worry and we forget the blessing God has given to us. Brother, how someone is looking at you, the person wants to be like you. Yeah, you are the only one who knows what you are going through. But someone power wants to be in your shoes. Are you there with me? Worry is a weight. It is not a sin. It's a weight. It will deny you the power of God. When you are someone who always gets worried, you don't have a peace of mind. When God puts power in your hands, you destroy people. The word of your mouth, you start cursing people by heart. So God cannot give you power. Anxiety. Bible says, do not be anxious about anything, but in all things, by prayer and supplication, with what? Thanksgiving, make your petitions known unto God. Don't be anxious. Believe in the one who is the holder of the future. You don't know what the future holds, but you know the man who holds the future. When he says that, he will give you an expected and believe him. How? Leave the how to him. 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 God spoke to me some years ago and said, son, it's time for you to go into ministry. I said, how? By then, a door opened for me in South Africa. A door opened for me in another church for me to open a branch for them in Westlands. When I went to pray about it, God said, no. I said, how should I start? God said, go and start in an open air. Open air. Marian is not in church. Marian will testify. Marian came. Lisa came. Some other seven friends came. Open air. Yeah, that was your name, grandma. How we got here, I don't know. Why would I worry about tomorrow? The man who said, come and work for me. I will take care of everything. Then I'll be sitting and be worried that, God, are you there? Are you not there? Are you not hearing my prayer? Worry is a weight, people of God. It's a weight. Believe me, you will drive the 4x4. Amen. How, I don't know, but you will drive it. Amen. If you are clapping, clap well. You drive that car. As for the marriage, you will marry. Your next problem will be that, man of God, I have money sickness. Money sickness. Man of God, what is all this in life? Fever. I have like fever. I can't eat. I don't have appetite. When my wife got pregnant and I wanted to eat bread, you see the round bread, she said, I should take that thing away from her. She doesn't like the shape of the thing. Then I bought coconut water. He said, why is the water like that? Take that thing. I said, another problem in the house. What you are thinking about today, God will give it to you. And your headache, about it will change. Amen. God will do it. Give the Lord a clap of it. So worry is a weight. Anxiety is a weight. Fear of the unknown. Doubt, unbelief, they are all weight. The second group of weight is when you are unequally yoked together with an unbeliever, especially in marriage or a business relationship or just friendship. That constantly influences you negatively. When you are unequally yoked with unbelievers, you are a believer, but all your friends are unbelievers. They will influence you wrongly. It's a yoke. God cannot put power on your life. When the power comes, they will know. And they will make sure you are devalued. Hello? Hello? When great things will be born, great things are always born in the secret. Before a man will become great, the secret place. Before babies will be formed, where? The secret place. Before businesses will be birthed, secret places. So when you become great, I told you last week how men are able to master aloneness. Then you have like-minded people around you. You cannot be unequally yoked with unbelievers. All your friends are unbelievers. You have to be suspected. Are you getting my point? Power will never come to you when you are like that. You close from all your friends. Don't believe in God. Some of them said, oh, from the Big Bang theory, you are telling them about Christ. He said, it's your opinion. Every day you are hanging around. God cannot empower you. He can't. You have to disconnect yourself and say, God, make a statement of my life. Let my life become a testimony to this dude, this guy. Are you there with me? Being unequally yoked, It's a weight. It's a weight. Number three, some kind of jobs or career can be a weight. I was talking to a lady. She was telling me about how a door has opened for her to become an air hostess. How do you call it? Air hostess, right? I said, that job, sister, it will not put your life together. Unless you want to do it for some years, like 3 years, 4 years, then you stop. When you do that job, you can't have a family. Nobody has that job and never has a family. We pastors, when we are going to put people together as husband and wife, so where's your husband? He say he's working in the ship. He's a pilot. I said, go and look for another counselor. Because such marriages hardly work. Unless, of course, your spouse is also in the ship. You are the pilot. Your wife is the air hostess. So the two of you will be seeing each other and going. But the job that one person will leave 7 years before it comes back, that our ship will roam the whole way we are there, just coming back. No. There are some jobs that will not release God's power. Because once you are married, for instance, your husband is gone, your wife is gone, temptation, as you are married, because temptation is surrounding you. Praise be to God. So there are some jobs that can become a yoke, a weight. Praise be to God. So lay aside weight. The Bible said that you, and give me verse 2 of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. I'll close soon. I think our time is fast spent. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he did what? Endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the... So you see, Jesus had to endure. When you are laying aside weight, they are not sins. They are things that can give you temporary pleasure. But you have to set them aside because of where you are going. Because of where you are going. Because when you not set them aside, you will not experience the power of God. So Jesus, he endured. His eyes was on the prize. Give the Lord a clap of hands. All right. So the next one, the next rule of spiritual power is the rule of hunger. The rule of what? Hunger. The extent of your hunger for spiritual power determines the level of power you will carry. Some people are easily made to be satisfied, and others are hungry in the wrong direction. When the enemy knows that you asking God, God, anoint me. I want to win souls for you. Empower me. When I preach, confirm your word and all that. The devil realizes that all that you are looking for is Camry, Toyota Camry. He will make someone buy it for you. He will make someone give you half plot of land. Your prayer point has ended. Because your motive, the devil can see your motive. But there are people that God has called. And he said, God, I can see many people suffering in your church. Give me a business to employ these people. When God gives it to them, he said, God, I've come again. I've changed my prayer topic. I've satisfied that one. Bless me again. I get to my point. They are not satisfied because their motive is right. Are you getting me? So that is what it is. You must not be satisfied, though. Psalm 81. Verse 10c. Take us to Psalm 81, verse 10c. Say, open wide your mouth and I'll fill it. The extent of your hunger will determine what God will put into your life. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth what? Wide. And I will do what? Fill it. So when you open it narrowly, God will give you narrow power. When you open it wide, he will give you bigger power. I see someone receiving power this morning. In the name of Jesus. Matthew chapter 5 verse 6. It says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Not just hunger and thirst. For what? Right standing with God. They shall be filled. So spiritual hunger, the rule of hunger, also brings power into your life. The last one. Because of the sake of time, I want to rush now. I just want to rush. Rule of yielding to the Holy Spirit. You must learn to put what you know down and follow the Holy Spirit. People who are too wise cannot receive power from God. That's why God chooses foolish things. people who God chooses weak things. Bible says he chooses the foolish things to confound the wise. A foolish man, you may be wise, but I said, no, I want the power of God. So let me put down the things I know. Let me take the foolishness of God. Take it and see if you not become a power individual. Because the ways of God are tried and tested. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You get my point? The way that you want to go, you want to be the one to discover. I always say, if there's a road from here to Kumasi, why will I be like, the day I'll go to Kumasi, I want to construct my own road. The road is already there. You just pick a bus and then you move. So you put what you know aside. Then you follow the precepts and the instructions of God. Praise be to God. All right. Benefits of spiritual power. Then we close. Benefits of spiritual power. Number one, power equips you against satanic systems. The power of God equips you against, thank you, Holy Spirit, a satanic system. The power of God in your life is supposed to be against unclean spirits. So in that workplace, the spirit of envy, jealousy is right there. The spirit of negative competition. By the time you appear there, because you carry power, everyone must bow to you. It looks like when you appear, everybody's reporting somebody to you. It means that you are the one in charge. Are you there with me? You've not said anything. You've not said what did this person say. But because you carry the power of God, everybody's reporting somebody to you. God, those spirits there acknowledge the spirit you carry. Are you there with me? So when you have the power, you are equipped against satanic system. Where the enemy operates, there is no growth. Where there is envy, jealousy, backbiting, you not see profit, you rather see losses. That's why anywhere God sends you, you are an ambassador to bring order. Praise be to God. All right, let's proceed. That's why Luke 10 verse 19, God said, behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by enemies hurt you. I pray for you today that the power that is coming upon you will make you untouchable in the name of Jesus. So you cannot receive God's power and be indifferent. There's some people, when they excuse riches, oh, why are you praying against me? They're also human beings. They are also human beings. You must have mercy on them. You don't have the power of God. The power of God, when it sees witchcraft attacks, there's a holy anger that will be stirred in you. That is power. You don't see witchcraft attacks. Oh, let's understand. You see, life is such that everybody must eat. A witch and a wizard have sold their soul to Satan. That will never do any good. Say, Satan, I am your Lord till eternity. And God looked at witch and said, allow not a witch to live. And when we are praying, he said, Pastor, let's pray for their salvation. Are you there? So you can't have power and be indifferent. When you see corruption in this country, yesterday I saw something that broke my heart. When the rain was falling in a hospital in Ghana, there are people in hospital and the roof was leaking. My God. So if people die, they don't even die in peace. The roof was leaking. They had to put buckets there. Meanwhile. And you see these things and you say, oh, it's normal. It's cool. I don't know where you are going, you know. I don't know. When some things don't affect you anymore, it's a chance that either you are becoming a wizard or your time to die is close. I'm telling you. Because you must let God's power reside in you so that you believe God to get to that level to affect changes. Listen, you don't have to be a politician. God can empower you. You see such a thing, you go to the hospital, you change the roofing. Say, donated by, it does not matter. Doesn't matter. I pray that God will do you so. I pray that God will empower you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. The next one is that power gives you a formidable foundation of your spiritual life. 1 Corinthians 2:4-5. The people who are firmly rooted in God are the ones who have witnessed the genuine power of God when he healed people, delivered people, the genuine power of God breaking curses and changes nobodies to become somebodies. 1 Corinthians 2:4-5. Paul said, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive what? Words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of what? Power. Verse 5 says what? Finish your account. Verse 5 says what? That your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Praise be to God. You see this lady, when she joined this church, her salary at the end of the month is 150 cedis. And she was living with Fafraha. That's where she comes from, to church over here. I'll not tell you her monthly salary now. But when she traveled the last time, she brought me good dollars. Listen, the dollar is not the thing. But I saw how the power of God can translate an individual. She's not giving cedis. She said, God punish cedis. So when you see such a thing happen, your faith is solid. You tell yourself, if God can do it for her, she can do it for me too. God bless you. She can do it for me too. Are you there with me? So there are many people whose Christianity is shaking. They held Christianity with from cognitive powers, eloquence and standpoint. It's not the power of God. When you see the sick being healed, your own relative, it's not Azar healing. Your faith in God will have a firm foundation. Are you there with me? That's what it is. So that's the need for power. Number three, it brings clarity of purpose. I'm just skipping through the things for the sake of time. Clarity of purpose. Psalm 36 verse 9. You know, most people who have come to the Lord, your purpose is clear in life because you can see your purpose in the purpose of God. The Bible said, for with you is the foundation of life. In your light, we see light. Without God, you can never have clarity of purpose. But if only you can attach your purpose to the purpose of God, you have clarity. In your light, we see light. Praise be to God. The last one, the benefit of power. The benefit of power gives you another godly family, and you must take advantage of it. Your association with one who is born again brings greater result and blessing than working with unbelievers. There are many of you here, when we close from church, you are in a hurry to go. Also, for Andy, where did you get your wife? In church. Hello? And the two of you are enjoying. What I'm saying is that for you, your destiny helper is sitting close to you. But you are too much, you are in hurry in life. When it comes to church, so you are in a hurry. You are not careful to make friends. I'm not talking about church goers. So I'm talking about believers. So don't just go and say, Pastor, what? The message you preach, what the person did to me. No. He said, what do you do? So I do this. Oh, I also do this. I'm looking for somebody who does this so that we can enter into a partnership. But it's, oh, I'm also looking for somebody with your expertise because there's a contract like that coming. Once, you see, they scratch my back, I scratch your back. Yeah, when you work with believers, Psalm 133 verse 1, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the oil that flows from the head. From Aaron, from verse 2, we are in verse 2 now. Hurry up. It's like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard of Aaron running down to the edge of the garment. Verse 3. It's like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing. Working with believers, you have greater results. So as for Pastor, I don't like church girls. I like slave queens. Go. Go. We wish you well. As for me, Pastor, you see that when you are talking to slave queens, they have plans. Have you seen slave queen? Living legacy before. Everything is about them. Stop tickling yourself to laugh. When you work with a believer, there's a greater result. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Give Jesus praise. Okay, the last one. The benefit of the power of God is leadership. Acts chapter 6, 2 to 4. When the power of God comes on you, you are chosen for leadership. I always say that when you go to a place and you're not being chosen, don't be angry. Work on your values. Work on the power of God on your life. People would rather come to you than come and lead us. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, it is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve what? Tables. Verse 3. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of what? And what? Wisdom. Whom we may appoint over this business. The last verse. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. When you work on the power level in your life, when you work on your values, you come to the place of leadership. That's what the power of God does. You cannot be full of the Holy Spirit and hide. The Holy Spirit will announce you that there's somebody hiding here. Go and ask Jonah. Jonah was in the ship hiding. The storm said, oh, the ship said, oh, somebody's in this ship. We must make him out. They threw their merchandise, they threw their things away. The ship would not keep calm until they threw Jonah into the sea. Then there was calm. Say, hey! The anointing on his life was announcing him. He cannot hide. When you have power, no one can overlook you.